Good evening and welcome to Bethel on this, the 30th of December 2020. It feels a little bit like the lockdown services again. The weather's quite cold outside and the roads are quite poor. So the roads are maybe just about accessible, but on top of it all, we have a lot of rain. And it means that people might get to church, but they might not get home from church. So we're just recording the service, and we'll have it posted on the internet and Facebook before the evening is out for your perusal at your leisure. Thank you for joining us, and we're going to begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for improved health, for while it's cold outside, for all of the heat and all of the many blessings that you've sent our way. I pray you please, Father, that you would be with us and watch over us. Father, that you would please put your good hand upon us as we, just the two of us tonight, gather together to worship and praise you and to provide service and a wee break from the world for those that are tuning in. Bless our time together, Lord, and we know there's others that are able to have services this evening. I pray that you bless them as they stand up to lead services and to minister to those that they're charged with. Please be with our brethren, Lord, that normally can make it and can't, but be also with those that normally can't make it and still can't, Lord, with Esther and Pat and Steve especially at this time. Look after the folks on the road, Maslam and Georgina, Stephen and Marie and her dad, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, for Norman especially at this time, and his mom Joan, for Henry and Evelyn, for Lord, for Sally and Kate, especially for Alan, Lord, and Pearl down there down in Brigade, Lord. For everyone that logs on and clicks on the link, Lord, please let this service be a help and a blessing to them. Speak to us through the meeting tonight and the songs, Lord. And Father, we just pray most of all that your will would be done. We love you and thank you. We pray all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are going to take our hymn books and turn to 111 this evening. This one is Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. And I'm even going to change my glasses so that I can actually see what the words say.
Sweet.
guys were better musicians than I was, but still want to sing something slightly different at the end of that one. Amen. All right, we'll sing another hymn. This time we're going to sing 140. We Have an Anchor. I think you have to play that one, don't you? So if you would like to get that ready. Does that mean I'm doing a bit of a solo this?
I'll try to sing.
All right, solo it is. Solo, you'll never even hear me. Amen. Yeah, okay, I should have warned you. For the interruption. I'm trying to organize everything. I forgot to put my phone on airplane mode, so that could have been anybody ringing. But my apologies to whomever it was. All right, now it is time for our Bible reading. And normally, Brother Steve, he has a Bible reading for us. And we're going to be looking at Hebrews 12 this evening, if you would like to turn there and join us. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I think this isn't this the fifth chapter of the Bible, or is that Hebrews 11? Let's find out in 2 seconds. Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, no, it's not. Hebrews 11 is the fifth chapter. I knew that. I can edit that in retrospect. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to take and turn there or just listen I will put on my best Bible reading voice and hopefully not lull you to sleep. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye receive chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all our partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Thank you for that, Steve. I pray that is a help to you. Those first few lines in that are always on my mind when I consider an endeavour that we are always compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. I've heard a few messages preached on that. I do believe the lost don't get to look into our affairs, but I do believe the saved souls that have gone on to heaven do, and most certainly the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit does. And the angels of heaven and even the devil's angels, they also get to watch us. Sometimes they get to stick the boot into us as well, but that's why we as saved souls, having the Holy Spirit and the Lord, should listen to him and do what he says. All right. Announcements wise, well, we miss everybody this evening. We really do. We are looking at the December 20th to 27th prayer list. And I would ask that you would continue to pray for Steve, for the diabetes and psoriasis and other complaints that he has, and for his and Pat's family and friends and neighbours, for salvation for them. Please do pray for them. For Esther too. Esther has skin problems as well with her legs, and I'd ask that you would pray for that too. Please do pray for Christy's fiance Taylor. She's visiting with us at the moment, all the way from the US of A. This is on the QT, of course. Nobody else will ever hear of this. Please do pray for them. She picked a good time to come to Northern Ireland. This is probably not the worst weather. It's certainly the coldest we get here, and even that is not that cold compared to some parts of America. But as they say in America, it's a dry cold. Over here, it's a damp cold. We miss everybody with the poor weather that we are having, with the poor road quality, and we certainly don't want to have anybody injured. And I had a question mark over the road. I know Brother Norman, he's got a hill, two hills to come down from. He's got the hill out of his house down to the road, and then he actually lives on a hill, so he has got that to go down. And of course, he drives a Mercedes, which, like BMW, is a rear-wheel drive, and you might as well be out in your bare feet or a pair of ice skates, because the back end scoots over every which way with no weight on it. So please do pray for Norman, Christy, Taylor, Ling and Frank, of course Dr. Shang as well. We miss also John and Carol, Stephen, and is that it? Will, of course, as well, and Christine visits with us from time to time. Please do pray for all of these souls. And I just want for you to remember, I know it's very, very easy to become very inward looking whenever you're stuck in the house and the government has asked for another 6 weeks of people's lives. Just remember to keep looking up, keep praying for other people, even if you don't see them, because the longer your mind rests upon yourself and upon your own difficulties, the bigger and bigger they get until they will consume you. So please do be much in prayer for other people. And most of us have phones with unlimited texts and voice calls, so ring them and speak to them. There are a number of us with private prayer requests. Monica and myself certainly do have some. Ling has, Steve and Pat have. Will has mentioned that he has, and of course Norman, I'm sure Esther has too. There are loved ones that are recovering from COVID. Please do pray for Monica's mom and dad. Monica's mom continues to deal with a wee bit of a heart episode there, and her dad is recovering from that bad flu, that COVID flu, as are a number of people over in Grace Bible and Black Creek Baptist in the US of A, I am sure, along with many others. But please do pray for them. Without them, life would be so much more difficult for us, and we just wouldn't get to see our family, church family and friends, quite as much as we would like. I also ask for your prayer regarding the purchase of the land. There's been some miscommunication, some confusion as to the prices required, so I would pray for your help for that too. As far as health goes, it may seem like a little thing. It's big to me. I can now put my arm around my wife when we're sitting in church and not feel like someone has just cut my arm off. My arm continues to improve. I do believe Steve's legs are starting to improve as well. Please do pray for that. I'm praying that Esther's conditions are picking up somewhat as well. So please do continue to pray for her. And I'm just glad we're here. The Bible says, and it said even in the times of the Lord Jesus about the disciples, that there were many wise men, many prophets desired to see the things that they saw, and they wouldn't except from heaven. And you know what? We are getting to see a lot of things that I am sure John and Isaiah, they wrote them down and they thought, who in the world would ever think of such things? But here we are, they're happening right in front of us. Please do pray. The Lord could be back before the service even ends, and somebody will pick up this phone and will have one of the longest recordings ever, and us only at the start of it. But all of these things are in the Word of God, and they're there so that you won't fear, but so that you will get stuck into it and depend upon the author of it and not the author of all the troubles and woes that are happening right now. Please pray for our country, for Boris Johnson, for Arlene Foster, for Nicola Sturgeon, for whoever looks after Wales. Please do pray for America, especially for President Trump at this time, and the whole of America. I do believe they stand at a crossroads, and if they don't take the right path, it's going to be a difficult time for many people in America, for America as a whole. But amen. Thankful we live in what was once, I used to boast, one of the most conservative places in the world, and it may turn out to be that way again. Please do pray. If the Lord has you something on your mind, you're not sure what, and you should be praying, just remember my name. I am sure I would have something on at any given time that would need prayer, and it'll be the same for any child of the King of Kings. So we're going to have a wee word of prayer. We're going to sing another song, and then we're going to bring the message. Heavenly Father, do indeed thank you, Lord, that we can come before you at any time and bring all of our thoughts and desires. And we know, Lord, that this is the path to the peace that passeth all understanding. It's talking to you about everything and bringing all our cares and worries to you. Father, I pray you please for all of the names that were mentioned, for the churches that were mentioned. We're not forgetting Stan and Karen and Mark and Jeremiah and Samuel and Faith and Jennifer and Stuart and wee Hannah and Stuart and Iola and I must get the names of that other family, Lord, up there in Bangor. But please do watch out for them. Watch out for that young fella Billy, Lord, and his family at this particular time over in Dundee. I pray you, Father, for your wisdom on that. Please look out for parents, for brothers and sisters, for children. I pray you, Lord, your strong arm upon them, for conviction if they're not saved, and for direction if they are. Please save those that are lost that we know, I think especially in Clive and Paddy and Claire and Ollie and Emily, and for your hand upon Ollie especially. And I pray you, Lord, too, for Lord, preachers everywhere. Please, Lord, please bless the preaching and teaching of your word. And please, Lord, tear down the false gods that people have set up in their hearts and help them to see that even when everything else in this world comes tumbling down, that you're still there. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your Son. Thank you for preserving your word for us just like you said you would. Thank you, Lord, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the peace that passeth all understanding, the assurance of salvation, and, Lord, for a purpose. We ask this, and of course a private prayer request, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's sing another song. I don't think you'll have to play for this one, Mrs. Bradfield. Hymn number 353. 353 is in the big hymn books, because the wee ones only go up to about 30. This is From Every Stormy Wind.
Amen. Every storm.
time to put away the hymn books and lift up our Bibles and me to tear the church apart. We are going to be in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Amen. If you'd like to take and turn there, Luke chapter 5, and I want to spend a little bit of time this evening, not too long, on the subject of the real thee. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and we're going to read these first 11 verses. In my Bible it says at the top of the page, the call of the first disciples. Anyway, Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought the ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. We're speaking about the real deal tonight, and I'd like to refer to the whole of this little portion of God's word. And we'll get right to it after a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. I pray you, Father, please, for the words, for Lord, for you to speak not only to the folks that hear this, but to me also, as we bring this study and this message from your word. I'm sure nothing new, Lord, that hasn't been heard hundreds of times over the last thousands of years, but I pray you, Lord, please, that you would find a place for it in our hearts, that you would teach us and speak to us all. Please cleanse us and forgive us, Lord, please, I pray you. Keep our minds fixed upon your word and this time that we've set aside. Love you and thank you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is indeed a famous portion of God's word. It is the calling of the first disciples, as we already mentioned, and we see here Simon Peter. He's called he's called Simon at the moment. He hasn't yet gotten his surname, Peter, the little rock or the stone. And we see Simon Peter. We see James and John, the sons of Zebedee, also called the sons of thunder later on, who desire to sit at the left and the right hands of the Saviour whenever he comes into his kingdom. We see them as well. It says they brought their ships to land. They forsook all and followed him. Those three men had prayers, a real prayer answered, and realized that they were standing in the presence of God Almighty. As our little portion of scripture begins, we see the Lord has been speaking to people. A lot of people were touching him and reaching out to him and wanting to see him. And so he's down by the lake of Gennesaret, and he calls to Peter, and he calls and says, look, is there any chance I could use your ship? Because there's so many people here, some people are missing out, And if you just put it out a wee bit into the water, then everybody gets a chance to see and to hear, and there's not so much fuss and not so much hubbub. So there you have it, the Lord, separated by a few feet of water, maybe a few more than just a few feet of water. And Peter anchors the boat, and the Lord preaches. And he keeps preaching. And I have to say, that's one of the fashions that I am not that fussed upon, is our short messages, our sermonettes. And then people go for a cigarette and do their laundry in the laundrette. Whenever I come to church, I don't come to church to get away from church. That's not to say that there is no place for short sermons. There are. Sometimes you only get a few minutes to do the Lord's work, to a few minutes of people's attentions. But the Bible says eventually they stopped. And there's no more mention of the people. In fact, the people have pretty much dispersed as the Lord then turns to Peter and says, let's go out a bit further. Go out into the deeper part of the water and throw your nets down, and we'll see if there's any fish. Now, Peter says, but Lord, we already did that. We did that yesterday evening, because the fish don't actually come up during the day. It's far too warm. The very warm water, I think, doesn't carry as much oxygen. I might be wrong about that, but Peter said, Lord, that's not the way it's done. Probably gave a whole list of the reasons as to why it's not done, but then said, nevertheless, because you asked me to do it, I'll do it. And that's just a sermon in itself, all by itself. He gave all the reasons why, man's reasons, man's wisdom, man's strength. But then he did what God asked him. And then all of a sudden, and the Bible doesn't say, it took a long, long time, they let the nets down, and when they had done it, they enclosed. In other words, they caught a whole bunch of fish. I know at the very end of John it mentions the restitution of Peter, the forgiveness of Peter by the Lord after he had rejected him three times. I think they pulled in 153 great fishes. And even though there were that many, the ship didn't sink. But here the ship was going to sink. This was a big deal. This was much more than they normally pulled. And they had to call for a little bit of help. And even with that little bit of help, with that helping hand, it was still too much for all their spare boat capacity and all their extra muscle. And bear in mind, these guys were not weaklings. They didn't fly a desk. They didn't go to the gym for 15 or 20 minutes every morning. They were out working, a hard-working, back-breaking job. They were strong. But it was too much for them. Suddenly, Peter falls to his knees and says, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now, I don't know what prayers that Peter and James and John, what they were praying as they went out, or the mean and the dark thoughts they were having at having been out the whole night and not catching a single thing. And maybe even saying as they looked up, how are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to feed our families? How are we going to keep going for just another day? Surely God must have the answer for us. I don't know. But I do know that it was such an answer to prayer in such a personal way that Peter fell at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Not only did he give him what he needed, he gave him so much more. So much, in fact, that all the men that were out there really couldn't manage it. Now, the Word of God goes on to say that Peter's life and James and John's lives were about to take a sharp right turn. Because the Lord said, fear not, from henceforth you shall be fishers of men, thou shalt catch men. And the word of God records that when they got back to the land, that they left it all. They left the ship, they left the fish, and they followed Jesus. So it wasn't for the riches that were delivered into their pockets that they followed Jesus. It was the answer to their prayers. That this was indeed the Messiah. And you know what? A lot of times that's just a picture of us. As we try to get by on our own skills, our knowledge, the application of that knowledge, our wisdom, maybe on our strength, and maybe even on whom we know, because that's what Peter tried to do. It was too much for him. He called on James and John, and it was still too much for them. And where many of us feel, this is where Peter and James and John succeeded. They listened to what the word of God, they listened to what Jesus said. Well, they really had no choice, seeing as they were in the boat with him, but they listened. They were busy, they had upon their minds and other jobs to do, the preparations for tomorrow, but the Lord knew that tomorrow they wouldn't be fishing fish, that they would be fishing for man, and this was going to be their preparation. This was going to be the thing that shifted their hearts from pulling fish out of the water to pulling man from the broad road that leads to hell. A lot of us have a problem or a failing and not listening to the preaching, or maybe just going through it, just going through the motions and not hanging around long enough for the word of God to actually make a difference, to let it percolate in. And any coffee drinker will tell you, and when I say coffee drinker, I mean real coffee drinker, like coffee grounds and coffee beans, that you don't just pour the water, you don't put the grounds in a sieve and pour the water through it, and that's your cup of coffee. You let the hot water sit in the grounds for a little bit, and you let the hot water draw out all that caffeine, dark caffeinated goodness. And then after a few minutes, maybe more than a few minutes, it's ready. I even heard of a lady one time that let her coffee sit for ages and ages till it got cold, and then put it in the microwave, and it was even stronger again. The longer it was left in the coffee grounds, the stronger it got. And that's really the way we are. The longer we are left to baste and to soak in God's word, or should I say more importantly, that we let the word of God soak in our hearts and minds, the more ready we are to do God's word, the more ready we are to accept him as Savior and then accept him as Lord. Every day and every decision we have the opportunity to do it God's way, which Simon Peter and James and John tried to do, or do it God's way. Listen to what he says and then do what he says, regardless of where and regardless of when and regardless of with whom. We need to accept the reasoning, accept the chastening. We don't like that bit. The comforting we do like, the strengthening we do like, and we certainly do like the miraculous answer to our prayers. You know, the ones that really speak to our hearts. In this case, it was an amazing answer to their prayers. I remember my own conversion experience, and the one thing that really made the difference with me was speaking to God in my heart, because ignorant me reckoned that if we are like little children to God, and you know by looking at little children's faces sometimes what they're thinking, that God can do one better and look right into my mind and see what I'm thinking. And I asked him to, if you're really up there, preach a message on a certain subject, which I can't remember, but all I remember is sitting like a smug devil near the front of the church, listening to the preacher. The title for the message was nothing that I had asked for. The content of the message was nothing that I had asked for. But whenever he got halfway through his message, he changed tack completely and started talking about what I had asked the Lord for. I spoke to nobody else, because Christians talk. I never let it on. It was between God and me, and God answered my prayer. And that lifted my feet from the broad road that leads to destruction and set me on the path to the cross. And it was a very short time after that I asked the Lord to be my Saviour, recognising that I was a sinner like Peter did here, and threw my lot in with God Almighty. And you know what? I found that there was more there than I could manage for myself. So God gave me a wife. And even down through the years, other people found that the Lord blessed and were able to not take advantage of it, use that in its correct and most beneficent, if that's even the right word, beneficial self. A friend that lost his job and was on the cusp of losing his house, I asked him if he wanted to sell stuff on eBay, and we kept the roof over his house and even bags of stuff that we were throwing out as rubbish. He said, why don't we put it on eBay, pray over it and see what happens? And he realized enough funds to keep the roof over his head for a couple of years until he got himself a job. God is good. And he is the real deal. Whenever you truly accept Christ as your Savior, the next thing you need to do is accept his word. After all, he is the word of God made flesh. And his word provides us with an assurance of salvation, something that salvation itself doesn't provide, but the word of God provides. Because it says in the word of God that he will keep you in the palm of his hand. It also provides the one thing that we really all need is a godly purpose. Paul said, I have run the race that was set before me, and that is what we need to do. He does, as he goes, give us divine provision. It's almost like he brings the road up to meet our feet. He pays for bills, he provides accommodation, transport, family, all the things that we seem to need so much of in these days, but it's there. We get provided what we need. Supernatural comfort. And we all need that, especially in these days. But even as we went about our daily un-COVID lives before all this went down a year ago, there has been that comfort from the Holy Spirit, from knowing that you're doing the right thing, and even if it seems difficult at the time, that it is the right thing to do. As loved ones step off into eternity, and the lost soul knows and cries bitterly because they will never see that soul again unless they choose Christ as their Saviour. But the Christian knows that a loved one in Christ that goes into eternity is just gone for a little bit, and we will get to see them again. And that supernatural comfort only comes from knowing Christ as your Saviour and knowing a little bit about his word. And of course, life is more than just being in church, and there are many things that go on outside of it. And the Lord said, well, there's a lot of things out there that will upset your apple cart, but if you pray about them and talk to me about them, I'll give you the peace that passeth all understanding. He gives us a church family. He gives us replacements for things, replacements hundreds of times better than all the things that we've had to say goodbye to or that have been taken from us because we're walking and talking with the Lord. The God that knows you better than you know yourself has all the answers to life and everything else that you ask him about. He has never lost a soul. He has never let anyone down. He is the real deal. And even saved souls would do well to reacquaint themselves with not the God who's a good mate and saved your soul from hell so that you could go out and do whatever you wanted with no pangs of conscience, but God Almighty that delivered his children from Egypt, that called the earth out of the seas, that called even space and time and matter into being just with the saying of a word. He is God Almighty. We are like ants and grasshoppers before him. We would need to acknowledge who He is. And where we stand, or in Peter's case, where we kneel in front of him, acknowledging him as God, calling for his soon return or our soon departure up into the clouds to meet him in the air. Because do you know what? All the things that are happening even now that put so much fear in people's hearts and minds, they're in the book. They're in the Word of God. And a scholar of God's Word, and I mean the King James Bible, scholar of God's Word will know these things. And on the one hand, will feel the pinch as life gets a little bit harder, but on the other hand, will rejoice deep down inside as God's words are confirmed, as things happen just like Jesus said they would be. And you know what? They're not pleasant, many of them. They are very, very difficult for many and have broken many marriages and many hearts and minds. But the Lord gave us his word so that we could look at that, and whenever these things happen, just like he said to the disciples, I am telling you these things now so that whenever you'll happen, whenever they happen, you will know that I am God. He is God. Even though the world has promised many of the comforts and purposes and provision that people think they need, many have found out that they're just being led down the garden path. They've been led deep into sin and degradation. But God will never do that to you. He is the real deal. He loves you more than your own mother and father, more than your best friend, more than your spouse. He loves you, and he gave his life for you. And if you will give your life to him, things will only get better. I know many of these services I close with Romans 8 and 28, but it's worth remembering. All things will work together for good to those that love the Lord, those that are saved, and to those that are the called according to his calling. In other words, those that do what he says. And that is true. It's the real deal. God bless you. Thank you very much for your time and attention. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and then we will depart your company. Tonight we're going to finish with O Little Town of Bethlehem. The significance of O Little Town of Bethlehem this evening is that the new hymn at the very beginning was hymn number 111, and O Little Town of Bethlehem is 111 in the music machine. So, amen. This may be the last of our Christmassy songs, but even if it isn't, let's enjoy.
Number
33. And that was it. Number 33 in the black book. Hopefully you have it. My head's away. Not a little time in Bethlehem. That's a long time ago in Bethlehem.
Amen.
We obviously meant to not have the last verse with music. That will teach me to count the number of verses. But thank you for your attention. God bless you. Pray you have a good Christ-centered time and days and a happy new year. Until next we meet on Sunday morning. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray and thank you for the freedoms that we still have to meet together to worship and praise you, Lord. And pray your good hand upon us as we go our separate ways. Please keep people safe on the roads this night. Please, Lord, I pray you speak directly to people's hearts and minds. Thank you for your word and for your Son, for the great free gift of eternal life. We ask all these things, Lord. We thank you for our time. Thank you for our lives. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Normally we say shake hands and fellowship for a while, but I'm going to kiss the congregation tonight. Amen. It's just me and my wife. God bless you, folks.